Right, I'm back with Patrick E. Walsh. It's been a while, Patrick. How are the spirits?
The spirits aren't great, actually, to be honest with you. I found after a no-no referendum, which is it's over 2 months ago now, things were great. And I said, we're on a roll here. And the election people started rolling out. And the excess deaths just seemed to disappear. And I can understand the immigration thing has taken over because it's a replacement. And we have to stop using the phrase plantation. Because a plantation is where you bring in people to dilute the population. What's happening here, this is a replacement. Irish people are dying at excess rates and they're immigrating at excess rates. So this is a replacement. And I
I
can
think it's
understand.
so hard for people to wrap their heads around this because they trusted the media, they trusted their doctors, we were seen as the crazies, they rolled up their sleeves. And now to look at these excess deaths that have appeared since the rollout of the experiment, of the medical trial, I think it's incredibly painful for them to admit it. So I think there's an awful lot in denial. And I think there's an awful lot on this side of the fence, you know, who are the patriots. Who are the independents who are going to go along with it in the sense that they are going to continue to go along with the government narrative, unbeknownst really to their patriotic core, because it's too painful to them. But that article you sent me, what's her name again? Deirdre
Richard
Brown.
Brown, yeah.
That was a very good Substack article. And Deirdre Brown made the point in the Substack article that if you ignore the excess deaths, you are. Fought, you're eating out of the hand of the government. That's exactly what they want you to do. That is the plan, that you ignore it, that we self-censor ourselves. And we see it now. Even stuff that I've been putting out on Twitter, on Telegram, it's not getting the same hits that it used to. I don't know if it's fatigue or if we're shadow banned. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both of them. But Deirdre's article was very long and it was a fantastic article. And there was lots of good points in it. But one point she made about it's fine to fight these battles about sexualization of children, the immigration, the woke agenda. And these are important battles. But if we fight these battles and forget the fact that our government tried to kill us and have damaged the health of so many people, it'll eat our souls away. Because you're denying it. You cannot deny stuff like that and pretend it didn't happen. And that's the point she's making. We have got to face up to that. And I'm not having a go at, let's say, all the fellas on our side going for the election at the moment because it's a hard thing to do. But there seems to be some sort of an omerta applying. I mean, the government don't want to talk about it, of course. And there is a few people on our side. I'm not going to who will talk, and I'm not going to name them in case I forget to say someone and they'll be offended. But there seems to be a kind of thing. We'll push it to the end of the agenda, whereas surely it should be. I can't understand why a lot of them couldn't have got together and said, right, we might be going against each other in the elections, but can we agree on one thing? We are all going to push for an independent judicial inquiry or whatever. The name of an inquiry would be where, at the end of it, someone will have the finger pointed at them and criminal charges. And now, if all the independents and whatever agreed to something like that and just put it at the top, they wouldn't have to talk about it anymore. But it's there. You're acknowledging the fact that Irish people have been killed in huge numbers, and the health of people. I mean, it's just we know it from talking to our friends and that they're not the same, and. We can fight the immigration thing, and that's important. We have to win that battle. I'm just going to say one thing. I'm doing a lot of research, and I would know an awful lot about this on births and stuff in the last few days. And it just dawned on me. I looked at the Irish births per the CSO, and it's coming down. Irish nationality births. Now I contact the CSO to see is that an objective when they say Irish nationality. Is that Irish people, or is it a subjective thing that anyone can tick the box? And they got back to me and said that when you're filling out the form, you can tick that you're Irish or not Irish. So there could be non-Irish people, you know, if someone in arrives in from Nigeria, they get citizenship, and then they tick the box Irish for the mother of the child. So the figures I'm talking about here, we have I'd be estimating in 2025, the amount of Irish deaths will exceed the amount of Irish births, Irish people births. That's gone by CSO figures. We're going to have, by 2025, about 37,000 deaths in a year. Now, 99% of them are going to be Irish. That's the more or less the fact of the matter. A few hundred here or there is not going to make a difference. Our births will have reduced to about that level in 2025. So at that stage, okay, Irish people are not replacing themselves. Never mind the fact how many are leaving or emigrating. Like John Walters spoke about the other day, 100,000 people are looking for visas to Australia. Now, I know that doesn't mean they went or whatever, but I just know in my own extended family, my sister has three children, they're all in Australia. I have a sister out there. She's married out there now. She only went a few years ago. And that's where we are. The replacement is real. The excess debt is part of it. Our falling birth rate, and a lot of people would pin that on, am I allowed to say the vaccine? I suppose I am. The fertility problems. I mean, Naomi Wolf never stops talking about it. That's her whole point in all her talks, is fertility, both male and female, has been decimated. Now, in 2025, going by my figures, and right, someone get on here and say, oh, it'll be 2026, 2027. They're only a couple of years away. At that stage, we are not replacing ourselves. And all other births, whether they're from Nigeria, from Eastern Europe, whatever, are rising. Okay, mainly, I noticed this, the non-EU countries are still falling a bit. They're falling away, but they're still high. But it's the other nationalities. You can pick whatever nationality you want. They are the ones rising, and they're rising at a very high rate. I can't remember the figures offhand, but they will rise exponentially. These are childbearing people. I mean, I can't believe I'm even talking about this stuff, you know.
What I can't believe is that we're the only ones talking about it. That's the bit I just can't fathom the level of brainwashing, that's the word really, and acceptance from people that they are cool about this. And I'm wondering, well, is there some dodgy frequency coming out of these 5G masks? Like, what is stopping people's reaction from what is happening? Now, of course, the media, my area, is playing its part. I was just listening to Claire Byrne. I was in the car, put on the radio, and I always get these little moments where whatever I hear at that time, I know it's going to be important. It's very peculiar because it's not like I'm listening to Claire Byrne all the time. But I knew, tune in, let's see what she's got to say at this moment because I know I'm going to use it later, funnily enough. And she was talking to Catherine Day, and they were talking about direct provision. And instead of asking, what you'd expect a journalist to ask, like, but why are they all men and where are the women and children? And surely there's going to be a cabinet at some stage. And what about their criminal records and do they need documentation? Normal journalistic questions. And the fact that any of us would ask, none of those questions were asked. It was just, how come a site hasn't been allocated yet, a private site bought by the government where they can put housing without planning permission? This was part of the conversation going out on RT Radio 1. And they were calling them reception centres where they can pass through. And Catherine Day was saying, yes, and we've made the process a lot easier and faster now so we can bring more through. And that was what they were talking about. And that is what we can expect now from RTE. They're not giving us proper public service broadcasting. It's absolutely shocking. But what's shocking for me is that people are tuning in. Now, I know we don't have a proper alternative media. Really, we don't have it. We are using X. We're using Telegram, which is, singing to the converted, really and truly. That's about all we have. And now we have these local and European elections, people getting out and having a chat, which is going to be big. I think I was only reading in the Examiner today, they were calling far-right conspiracy theorists are apparently playing havoc with this, with the canvassers, because there's a lot of angry potential voters out there. They are not pleased with what's going on. So don't lose hope. We cannot lose hope in all of this. We still have room. We still have room to maneuver, even if the optics, and you see the optics are always coming through the media. That's the problem. They come through the media, so we kind of go, oh, well, things don't look good. But there's another story beyond the media. And I think one great thing that's beginning to happen is that people are starting to see through it. It's very slow. It's painfully slow, though. But we do see that on X, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah,
Mm, yeah.
we are getting there. I mean, when I started getting involved in this, and people were doing it before me, I know that. I just wanted to get the excess deaths and sudden deaths thing out there, and I think that battle has been won. We're not going to convince. I can keep putting the figures out, and it's important. I keep putting the figures out, and I like to say this because there's people who prepare the figures for me. It's not just me. There's three or four other people, and they prepare the figures. They do it independently so they can compare each other, so we can decide on the final figure to put out. And they store it independently. I mean, that might sound like conspiracy theory, but these fellas all back it up. And if someone said to them in the morning, "Show me them figures," they can be done. But the excess deaths, I think we're not going to convince anyone anymore because you can't. There's nothing exact. I mean, what's arisen lately is the RIP.ie has been bought by the Irish Times. Now, a lot of people have been contacting me saying, "What do I think?" and "What do that?" And it's like, if someone asked me the meaning of life at this stage, because I'd have so much to say on it. But the fact of the matter is, RIP.ie gave this country a truth back in 2020 and 21. And if it wasn't there, we would have had nothing. And people like Ivor Cummins, Kieran Morrissey, and Health Freedom Ireland, they did a lot of work in 2021, which showed up the lies that the government were putting out there. And I know they still got away with them. Now, we've come a long way since, with lots of people putting out excess death figures. And I think anyone that's seen them now and has been convinced is convinced. No one else is going to be convinced, as far as I'm concerned. And but we've got to keep cataloguing it. It's so important because the group I'm involved in, we feel a certain amount of pressure, because if we stop now, if we stop, someone is going to say, "Oh, everything is okay." Or Patrick E. Welch and the group is involved with must have got it wrong. They're afraid to put their hand up now anymore. And it can be a hard line to walk sometimes. And
I still think there's room. I do. I still think there's convincing to be done. But it's getting through people's pride, you know, it's always the intelligent ones. Probably be the doctors who'll find out last, really, just how bad. I mean, I'm sure they know. The doctors must know. The doctors really, oh my goodness. The doctors, when you think of the doctors and what they have done, is
It's
beyond words. Now, listen,
absolutely.
let's take a look at these Eurostat figures, okay? So, will you talk us through these figures that you have here? Irish figures are, what have we got? 2024. Okay, so we're at 11% for March 2024. And this is these are Eurostat figures.
These are Eurostat figures. So these would have a these rates would be different than, let's say, IrelandExcess.com, because they're using a 4-year baseline. And so that's why people say, "Well, why aren't they the same?" IrelandExcess.com use a 5-year baseline, 2015 and 2009 to 2019. Now, what I would say, like 11% is high, but what I would say about 11%, and I need to say that's the top excess deaths in Europe for March, is 11%. I think there was only six or seven countries in Europe had excess mortality in March. The rest of them had all negative mortality. Now, 11% in March, right, that's bad enough, but 11% in January or December would be a lot worse because it's of a higher base. But still, these are the figures. They're there in front of you. You can look at all the Irish figures from, we'll say, July. I haven't been bold there. From July 2021, where at that stage they were saying 95% of the adult population was vaccinated. From then on, it's excess months, excess deaths every month except January 22. And it's the whole way through. So that's where we're at. I mean, there's very few other countries on that sort of scale.
And I mean, I think the really concerning thing, and the, you know, for anybody new to this, is why isn't Claire Byrne discussing this, you know, on her show? Why isn't RTE covering this seriously? Why isn't it on Virgin Media News? Why isn't it on News Talk? Why are they covering it up?
Actually, because they played their trump card, okay? They played that OECD report back in the start of January when everyone was still out of work and out of their holidays. They got it out there, hoping no one would react to it, except I did and someone else, Witchboard is his name, did a great article on Substack about it as well. And we pointed out it was based on false data, it was incorrect, and it just total nonsense, debunked it completely. And I went on radio and I debunked it in Tip FM. But they played the trump card. They wrapped it around them and they said, we've had no excess debts. The OECD have said so. They cannot go back. That's the problem. If they cannot go back now, and I think they could have a problem here because that OECD report was a working paper, okay? And I contacted the people involved in it and I pointed out to them they used the wrong data. And they said, they didn't agree with that they used the wrong data. They said, yeah, we know it's provisional and when more data comes out, we're going to revise it. The government could find themselves in a fairly dodgy position then because that will change. It won't show the excess debts we were showing because they're building in the age structure into it, and that's important. But the government and RTE cannot go back after the Trump for they spent a week, and it was all over the newspapers, and there was no journalism involved, Ashton. It was if you read every newspaper, it was the same quotes. This was a press release put out on RTE, on the radio stations. Staines, I won't even say his first name, was set out. Sent out to repeat what were lies.
He's Mr. Vaccine, you know. If you look at his studies and what he's doing, it always comes to the same conclusion. We need more vaccines, you know. And all it takes is a little bit of curiosity from people. And this is the bit that's really catching me is where's people's curiosity? Are they not a little bit concerned? Are they not using their five senses and looking around and thinking, well, things are a bit odd and a little bit peculiar. Maybe I should investigate. So I find it that's the bit that's catching me is that people don't seem to have the survival instincts, the self-preservation instincts that you would expect. And I am just wondering, surely the media doesn't have that much of an influence. I mean, I'm stunned, really, after all these years, that it does. I always thought that the Irish people had a healthy cynicism towards the media and that they understood that it's, you know, RTE as well as TV3 or Virgin Media. You know, it's run on commercial money. You know, RTE gets the license fee, but you know, that's just fleecing you really and truly because it's all about TV advertising and radio advertising. That's where it's getting the money. So he who pays the piper calls the tune. I just always thought the Irish people understood this, and so they would have a healthy cynicism. Instead, we're getting, oh, poor old Ryan, you know, it'd be great to get Ryan Tubridy back. I'm just looking at people with two, I'm like, what, the guy who interviewed the kid about Pfizer and the Late Late Toy Show, you want him back, do you? I mean, is anybody learning any lessons? Does anybody care about, you know, all these red flags that went out along the way? Tubridy on the Late Late Show, pretending that he was concerned about people losing their jobs, you know, when he was getting these secret payments for what exactly? Well, you know, we all have our theories on that. But I think until people start reacting, you know, I'll start getting, you know, a proper, I think that, you know, they've been injected with something that could have could kill them. It could kill them, or it could give them some kind of an illness. And if they dodge that bullet, lucky them. And we wish nothing but good health on people. But lucky them, because if you look behind these injections, who's behind them? Only Bill Gates. Bill Gates wants depopulation. I mean, that's the bottom line on the whole thing, right? And I just don't understand why people are so slow in coming around to this. Like, when do people become so thick?
Actually, well, first of all, I better cover myself on Anthony Staines and what ended up in the High Court. If he wasn't lying, he should have known that there were lies. The OECD report. He's academically learned enough to know that the data was based on was wrong. And if he went into the report, they said it was all provisional data. So it was there to be seen. Now, move on from there. I think the likes of us who have seen this scam from all along. People are going to start getting tired of us. They're going to get start getting tired of me,
Shoot the messenger.
because we are reminding them. Now, see, this isn't over, okay? And some people say, "Oh, sure, I know 200 people who took the jab and they're not, they didn't get hurt or whatever. But they're missing the point. The jab, I mean, Denny Roncor explains this as better, and I'm not a medical person, but my understanding of this is the jab in itself, while some people would have died within maybe a couple of hours of getting it with a bad reaction, it's the two first jabs and the booster weaken your immune system and make you susceptible to other things that will kill you. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, they're highly jabbed in this country, but it doesn't seem to be so bad. But again, it could be that they have a younger population and a healthier population. And all these things are taken into account. Because if everyone was going to drop dead within a month of getting jabbed, this thing would have stopped after a month. So, you know, some people say it's... You know, it's accidental. They didn't know. I can't believe that at this stage. They knew what was going on. And if you think about who were the first people to be jabbed, were the elderly. Why were they first to be jabbed?
Pensions, was it? The money. I think the money, they wanted their money. Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of them.
And the fair deal. I think they wanted to get their hands on the fair deal money too.
Yeah.
There was no money for the pensions. They were bothersome, and I suppose they wanted to clear the nursing homes for the military age men as well.
Yeah, and there's people, if they were sitting on my sofa right now listening to what you're talking, and they would go, what are they talking about? They cannot see that this is four years, 2021, we're going 3 years ago. This is ancient history as far as they're concerned. And they haven't got sick themselves, and if they don't know anyone, what are you talking about? But it's real. These deaths are out there. And, you know, these deaths are facts. Well, they want to talk, you're talking about between 36 and 37,000 deaths in 2023, depending on where it comes out on RIP.ie. I think in 2019, it was 34, less than 34,000. Something. You're talking about an extra 3,000 or 4,000. Now, you could take a couple of hundred off it. But still, it's a massive increase because all the years up to then were very close. You can't, just because the population is getting older, they don't jump off a cliff in 1 year. It surely would rise slowly, and we might get to a level because the population is getting older. I mean, there's no doubt in that. But this has happened all of a sudden, and we in 2021 we rose by about 3,000, and it stayed at that level 22, 23, and we seem to be in line again 2024. Now, if it's all old people dying, what would happen is what they call it, the pull forward effect. If people are dying before their time, at some stage the dying has got to stop, because you can only die once. But we haven't reached that. Some countries seem to have. Italy had a high vaccine rate and high excess deaths during 21-22, but they seem to be tapering off now. And again, each country is different. They had different vaccine rates, different age groups of population, different health. So all these things come into it. But Ireland rose. We had nothing. You can look at the Eurostat figures there for 2020. We can go back and look at those figures. 7 out of those 12 months had no excess mortality. This is when the television was on every day telling you how many people were dying, how many people were going to die, and you can't go out and talk to your neighbours and talk to your grandparents and visit your grandchildren. There was 1 month. Look at the month there it happened in April. 38%. You've written about this, Ashley. You know what happened that month. They moved everyone, to all the old people, out of the hospitals, into the nursing homes, and we had 28% excess deaths. Look at the 2 months. Look at January, February for 2020. Negative excess deaths. I mean,
well, we should always be talking about April 2020. I mean, if the news was doing its job, if the media was doing its job, we would be continually talking about April 2020. What happened? Look at the spike. How did it get like that? What happened? We know from the CSO, we know from RIP.ae that, of course, they were coming from the nursing homes. We know most of those deaths came from nursing homes. Yeah, and that's why the spike came. And that was the major colour of our old people. And I will say, in fairness to AIM2, they are the one party that has brought this up. They found maggots. There was maggots on his face. I think there is a level of trauma. There is a severe amount of trauma out there as to what happened. People, I suppose, feel guilty as well because they were stuck outside, their loved ones inside. I think we've got a lot of unresolved trauma with this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and Deirdre Brown makes that point very strong in that article. She makes a lot of great points, and she makes,
She does, yeah.
if we don't, well, exercise that trauma by following up, by saying there's going to be a reckoning, by we're going to, there's going to be criminal charges. Even you kind of started at nursing homes. I mean, Kieran Morrissey and Health Freedom Ireland did a magnificent study around the first few months of 2021. When the jabs rolled out in the different nursing homes, and they took samples and they got nursing home details, and they saw the deaths happening in these nursing homes and RIP soon afterwards. And it's just, I mean, I get so angry because it looks like, I mean, other people are saying it, they're all complicit. I mean, John Walter makes the point is who's going to arrest the guards? Who's going to arrest the judges? Who's going to pass judgment on the judges? Who's going to arrest the politicians that made these decisions? No one, because they're all in each other's pockets. There's a judge. There was something on the. I don't listen to the news, but there was some woman sent to jail for insurance fraud yesterday. Okay. Now I don't know how much she stole, or I don't know what she was doing, and I really don't care. But she had half her sentence suspended, so she's going to jail. And some paedophile from the Department of Justice was let go by a judge, Martin Nolan, last week, who has a record of letting people go. This man was given a suspended sentence. I think it was said afterwards that this man had some sort of a he has some sort of a control in making a decision about the sex education in schools and the books that are going in. Now, this is what we're dealing with. You know, it's fine for me and you to call for criminal proceedings, but where are we going?
Well, it's up to the people. But you see, the really and truly, the reason we're in this mess is it's a lack of morality. You know, it comes back to morality is what? Knowing right from wrong, having a bit of God in your heart. People get frightened with God. They're like, oh, don't mention God. So we don't have to mention God. We could just mention the truth. You know, we could just say, well, okay, if God's the problem for you, how about we just say truth, honesty? So, and we could do God, Satan, if we want. And people say, oh, don't mention Satan. Okay, well, mention lies. So go with lies. So are you good with lies? You make your choice because you got to make a decision. If you're good with lies, you know whose side you're on. If you love the truth, you know whose side you're on, right? So, like, this is very clear. And I would say the people who've sold RIP.ie to the Irish Times have a moral obligation to tell the people of Ireland about these excess deaths. You can't just take the money and run. They know. They've been monitoring it too. You know, that's their business, RIP.ie. And we know why the Irish Times has bought it, don't we? Because it is the real-time data. It's the giveaway. It's the one that's giving the whole game away that the Irish Times is trying to cover up that there are any excess deaths. The mainstream media, of course, are complicit because they promoted the injections that are, of course, causing the excess deaths. They'll never admit that, so they're going to cover it up. RIP.ie was the big giveaway for them, and now they've bought it. Wait a second, hold on, hold on. I'd say RIP.ie got some nice money for it. I see now in the Irish Times they're looking for a new head of RIP.ie. You can't just go off and count your money. You know, there's a genocide on the underway here, RIP.ie. I don't know the people behind it. You better tell us. There's a moral obligation to stand up and tell us about these excess deaths. And not brush it under the rug. Because if you do, you know whose side you're on. You've chosen that side. You've made your decision. It's all a moral decision, and each and every one of us are being tested time and time again along the way. And yes, you will be judged. Very hard for people to get their heads around this because religion's been battered out of them. Ah, no, we won't be judged. There is no judgment day. Oh, well, let's see. Let's see about that.
People feel it in their hearts. They know when something is right or wrong. Whatever God you want to look at or pray to, that's a different matter. That's up to you. But we're all human, and right or wrong, unless your psychopath is inside there, so you can't hide from it. And I'm kind of half worried. Like these local elections and European elections are going to be fantastic for us. I don't doubt it. But let's say the people who are kind of hanging around there on the edge, wondering what's going on, they will celebrate it and say, right, the carpet is clean, let's move on. Let's forget the last few years. And that's what I'm afraid of. I don't think the government knew what was going to happen with the no referendum. They did not. They wanted those things passed. They blew them out of the water. The same with the local elections. They are absolutely, they're afraid that, I live here and I'm here most of the day, every day. I've had loads of things dropped in my door. No one knocked on my door. No.
Yes, they're terrified. I'm delighted they're not knocking too. It's great. So yeah.
But we just come back to the RIP.ie now. This is very dangerous. You pointed out the Irish Times have bought it. Now, the Irish Times, as a commercial organisation, would not still be standing without the government subvention for the last few years and the full page ads to put on your mask and take your vaccine and all that stuff. And I'm sure they were involved in getting the wage subsidies, and like all business were entitled to it. So they are beholden. Now, I'm not a tech expert in any way, so I don't know how they could stop the data still being isolated and producing it. The only way they can do it, as far as I'm concerned, is they destroy the business model, which would mean putting up a paywall. And a certain amount of people would stop putting their funerals on it. I mean, whenever it started, I can't remember when it started, and it took a long time for it to build up. But when the CSO did investigations on it, and other people in the Actuarial Society of Ireland, they said, I remember reading about this, from about, definitely from 2014-15 onwards, RIP.ie was getting about 97% of funerals in Ireland. So,
well, they said they wouldn't go, they're not going to do that. The Irish Times has said they're not going to do that. But I'm thinking, would they change, like, say, we're getting the died suddenlies and unexpectedlies on RIP.ie. Now, it's not clear. I always found that a bit of a problem. It's never clear if it's suicide, which is causing problems, because there's so much suicide. You get a somewhat of a sense. You can see, you know, where the flowers are supposed to be sent to, what charity. So we're always trying to read through the lines. And sometimes there's the odd report. There was a lovely, beautiful young doctor there out foreign who had chest pains and died. And then her picture came up on RIP.ie, so you'd be fairly, you know, you'd have some kind of backstory there to her died suddenly. But I'm thinking maybe with the Irish Times now taking over the reins, will they change the description? So there'll be no died suddenly, they'll just keep it name and they died.
Yeah, I don't think, if they keep the business model as it is without a paywall, I don't see how they can hide the actual numbers of deaths.
Yeah.
Like what the guys I know do, is they obviously, they get the figures for a month, they take out the duplications, you take out the Northern Ireland ones. Now, there will be a few foreign nurses left in there, but they're there all the time. So you're comparing like with like. So there might be, even though CSO would say RIP only gets 97% of deaths, around that. So there would be a few extra foreign nurses in it that wouldn't be in the CSO, but the CSO would have figures that the RIP wouldn't have, about 3%. So there's not a big difference there in what you're talking about. You're comparing like with like, and that's all we can do, unless you put everybody out in the street and we count them and say, you know, was he Irish or whatever. So all of this all along, it's not about having an exact dead count. So we say that many people died down to the exact unit. It's about comparing like with like and say, hold on now, why is there a big jump since then? Can someone explain it to us? And no one has. I mean, the best attempt was that OECD nonsense.
And that was to suffocate the conversation and say, look, we've had it now. We've dealt with it. Now move along.
Yeah. But I'm too worried about this. Like, I'm afraid. Remember the HSE cyber attack?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's still left hanging out there as some sort of a, you know, you can't trust the figures from 2021 into 2022 because it was closed for so long. And, you know, their figures are moving around. And so you can't compare. You know, it just happened to be at the height of the dying. So, you know, that's a handy one to have there. They're talking about stuff on a world scale. Is the internet going to go down for a while, whatever? You know, I'm afraid, two things I'm afraid of. Something like that will happen. and the continuity will be broke. But that doesn't change anything that we have all the figures up to March 2024 anywhere. So if something happened in the morning, they cannot deny all those figures. Yeah.
And that was you. I mean, you and the fantastic team, IrelandExcessDeaths.com, but you put your face and your name out there, and Dr. Seanan Nuálán as well, and Kieran Morrissey, you put your names and your faces out there, which was a big deal. I know the people who wanted to stay anonymous, they've done incredible work and we appreciate them so much as well. But if we didn't have your voices, if we didn't have you in particular breaking all this stuff down for us and reminding us, even myself, and I'm totally into it, like I'm every day trying to get the word out. But, you know, it's your steadfast dedication and just breaking it down easily and saying, please go to Eurostat, have a look for yourself. What do you think? You know, instead of trying to ram these things down anybody's throat, that's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is pique people's curiosity. So they might say, well, yes, this is a bit peculiar. April 2020, that spike in deaths from nursing homes, that's a bit peculiar. And to try and resuscitate some kind of consciousness again, some kind of awareness of what's going on, so we can have the capabilities to defend ourselves. Some kind of self-preservation has to kick in at some point. But listen, we're nearly at our foot. We've gone beyond. I usually only have 20 to 30 minutes with you. I've really enjoyed the conversation, as always, Patrick. I'm going to just leave it with you. Anything more you want to say?
No, the only thing, I mean, as I said before, this is not about me. It's not about, I'm a face of four or five people. That's all. But I would say two things. Without RIP.ie, we would not have known what was happening. Yeah. And we still wouldn't know, because CSO is so far behind in publishing. And that's not, they're late publishing. It's not something new they've started doing. So don't people say they're trying to hide anything. And there's late registration of debts and inquest. If there's an inquest, a debt can't be registered. So there's still loads of debts probably. 2020 is probably complete in the CSO figures. 2021 wouldn't be. And so 2022, you can definitely not. And 2023, there are figures for that. Definitely not. So, and the other thing I was going to say is, if someone Googles Eurostat excess mortality, they will find an interactive map in there that will allow for every country in Europe. You tick on the box, you can pick five countries at a time, and it will put the line up on the screen. And you can look at it for yourself, and you can see for Ireland compared to Europe, compared to any other country you want. You can do it five countries at a time. That's the most it'll allow on the screen. And it's simply done. Google Eurostat excess mortality, and it's somewhere on the page you'll see interactive screen, and click on it and you'll find it.
All right. Take care. Thank you, Patrick.